Hafaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
So you have to understand, we think we got it bad now. There's nothing compared to what's going to come.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. Continuing our look at understanding end times in our times, Pastor Herron examines the rise of Antichrist with a message based on 1 John chapter 2.
We looked at the first of seven events or people that are going to be in the future. One of those is the rapture of the church. We talked about that last week. We're going to talk about the rise of the Antichrist. Who is he? Clues about him. We'll talk about that in a minute. And then we will spend time on the tribulation period. Pastor Joe will be going over that, the Battle of Armageddon, the glorious appearing, the millennial kingdom, and then the new heaven and new earth. And so those are really the significant parts. And we would take a premillennial, pre-tribulational position, or to reverse that, a pre-trib. We believe the rapture is going to happen before the tribulation takes place. And then we do believe that Christ, the second coming, will happen before the millennial, the thousand-year rule on this earth. We believe is a literal view. I want to talk about the tribulation period and not the period as a whole, but let me just lift out one individual that is known as Antichrist. The term you find in 1 John, 1 John talks about in chapter 2. So I want to answer these three questions in the time we have. First question is, how can we know who he is? And the Bible talks about a number of titles of Antichrist. There are about 20 the Bible specifically names to this person. Let me give you five that you should be aware of. He's titled in Revelation 13 as the beast. The very word beast in the original is the idea of a vicious monster. Do you remember I talked about symbolism in Revelation? Symbolism is a powerful tool in the Bible that is used for and really transcends time. And that's many times when the Bible uses something symbolically. As I mentioned, I'm going to give you terms here. The beast is one. Number two, there's a second title, and that is he's called the little horn in Daniel chapter 7, verse 8. The Bible also calls him the strong-willed king in Daniel chapter 11. And you remember I made the general comment that what Daniel is to the Old Testament prophecy, Revelation is to the New Testament. The lawless one, the man of destruction, excuse me. And then number five is the lawless one. Now, along with this, let me give you clues that are to the identity. Revelation chapter 13 talks about the clues of who this beast is and the ambitions that drive this beast. Fact is, Revelation 13, verse 4, the Bible says, "And they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast." The dragon is Satan. He's empowering this beast, which is the Antichrist, and they worship the beast, saying, "Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" In other words, the beast is here to deify, as one author says, I like the word, he deifies Satan. His goal, the Antichrist, is to elevate and make Satan worshiped by man. And then on top of all of that, he ultimately is going to dominate society. It says that he's going to overcome them and he's going to have power over the whole world. Let me make reference about, okay, when is he going to come? The fact is that you have the church age. The rapture takes place. We as believers won't be here. We will be for 7 years in heaven with the judgment seat of Christ, the bema, the rewards. Your judgment for your sin is not going to be brought up there. It was brought up at the cross of Calvary, paid for. This is purely a reward. And during that 7 years there in heaven, the 7 years on earth, the tribulation period, the first 3.5 years, there will be seals that will be broken. Trumpets that will be blasting, seven of those, along with the seven seals, and eventually seven bowls or vials are going to be poured forth. And that first 3.5 years will be a time of peace. Somewhere at that start, this man will be revealed. He will be of all these geniuses in which he will broker peace somehow between the Jews and the Gentiles, including the Muslims. He will allow those Jews to build a temple on the Temple Mount somehow, whether he's going to have that Mosque of Omar removed and put on that spot, or the mosque is going to stay there and another temple is going to be built. The temple is going to already have utensils and things that even now are being prepared. We'll talk about that. I've mentioned it before. Many, many things are already put together. You say, well, does that mean that Jesus is coming back tonight? I have no idea. I don't even know what time I'm going to go to bed tonight, much less who the Antichrist is. I had somebody the other day on a deal. I was watching things related. He says, is Antichrist alive today? I have no idea. Very well could be. I thought I met him in high school, and I met another guy in college, and I thought he was Antichrist. And I've met a few women that if they were women, I'd sure. I'm just kidding. The point of the matter is, I like as one author said, only after the rapture of the church will the identity of the Antichrist be revealed. So in other words, you don't want to know who he is. Because if you ever do figure out who he is, you're still on earth. Then you've been left behind. In other words, he can't make his move until God releases the restraining power of the Holy Spirit indwelling the church. Now, the fact is, there's an Antichrist. Assumption is that he is going to be revealed. He might be alive and he might be in the political world right now. And I mentioned to you before, I remember when Kissinger was it, and then Nixon was it, and then Bill Clinton was it. And I've heard, well, Obama must be it. Speculation. The reality is you stay to Scripture and say, you know what? I don't know for sure, but we do know one thing. When the lawless one will be revealed, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy the splendor of his coming. Christ will destroy Satan and his armies all at one time. They're going to cast him alive in the lake of burning sulfur, which is Revelation 19. That's going to be the end of the Antichrist. The fact is, we have no record of his judgment. Only the Antichrist and the false prophet will not be judged, but because of their activities, they'll be cast alive into the lake of fire and sulfur before the great white throne judgment. And we have prophesied the bitter end of the man of lawlessness, the Antichrist, and you consider the millions deceived by him who share his fate in that lake of fire. The fact is, when the Antichrist does come to power, he will promise world peace. And when he ends up 3.5 years in that millennial, he finds himself now sitting on the very rebuilt temple. It's not just he brokered a deal with the Jews. Hey, listen, you can build your temple. And it's not just he brought peace somehow with this Muslim world and somehow united the Muslim Islam faith with Christianity or false Christianity and all the world religions, that you have a one world government and a one world religion and a one world currency. You say, well, are there things now that can see, that can put into that play? I mentioned weeks ago, absolutely. You would be naive to think otherwise. So don't be shocked when you keep hearing of, wow, you know, they're talking about this economy going bad, and then you got this, you know, this currency already printed, and very well could be. I have no idea. Well, the fact is, you and I are in a place that we are supposed to not be living by an anti-Christ spirit, but that the Holy Spirit is controlling and directing your spirit. And this should give you great confidence, as it was with a church that got all unsettled about end times. It scares me for churches that I have seen and heard over the years that so zone in on this one doctrine of eschatology that they've got bunkers underneath their church, years' supplies of food, clothes, so everyone's going to go hole up down there. What did Jesus say? Occupy until I come. You know what he said? You get active. You get involved. If you know the truth, you know why I wrote all this? I unfolded all this so you'd be blessed. Yes. I'm not planning to be there, according to Scripture. So what do I want to do? I want to do all I can to help convince people to be able to play, say, you know what? Hey, you don't want to go through that, man. Now, during the tribulation, I'm not going to be here, but I'll just give you, Pastor Joe will cover all this. You say, well, during that 7 years, what about people that are left behind? Are they going to get saved? People are going to get saved. Revelation 7:14, in mass, multitudes of people are going to come to Christ. Multitudes, the Bible says, which is tens of thousands of people. Somehow they're going to end up hearing the gospel. Somehow they're going to realize there's 144,000 sealed Jews that are sealed from all of this terrible events going on, and they're not going to be touched and scathed at all by all of the Antichrist pressures, and they're going to have the freedom to proclaim the gospel. Maybe it's through internet, maybe it's through whatever means, but the world is going to hear it and know it. Multitudes are going to get saved. And out of those multitudes, they're going to be martyred, either beheaded and killed for the sake of the gospel. And they are going to be the ones that are going to be in Revelation 10 through 13, going to be proclaiming who they are by the blood of the Lamb. Awesome. You say, well, man, what if I hear the gospel right now and I don't believe it and I'm not saved and the rapture takes place? Can I get saved? That's been debated for years. You know my response is, why take a chance? Good night. Why take a chance? Well, I heard of that. I don't believe this. A bunch of baloney. Maybe your heart will be turned, because even for the sake of the elect could be deceived. I don't even want to know who Antichrist is. That guy, he might look at me and get me convinced. So you have to understand, we think we got a bad now. It is nothing compared to what's going to come. And you know the whole goal in all this? What I see through all this, what's pulsating through the book of Revelation? Jesus Christ that's constantly giving it out, giving the gospel. I'm not wanting to do this. I want everyone to come to me. I didn't come to judge the world. I came to save the world. And now you're putting me in a place. Please believe this. Please believe this. And I know people are so gullible. I've mentioned before, a few years ago, a guy named David Copperfield, I saw him do some tricks, man. I'm like, whoa, how did that guy do that? I don't remember whatever the guy's name was, some magician. I saw a guy elevate, man, like elevate. And people were going, whoa. And I'm thinking, man, that's like a trick, okay? What do you think's going to happen to a world that everything is televised? You pull up your little Wi-Fi and Mi-Fi and boom, you're right there no matter where you are in the world. Bam, I see it. Look at this, man. Look at these two guys, these two witnesses. They were dead. Look at that guy. He got hit a bullet in the head. He was dead. And 3 days, bam, he came up. He's got to be Christ. And a whole world is deceived. And I'm telling you, if you see it, it is not by the fault of you sitting here and saying, I heard it. You say, when that is? I have no idea. Well, 7 years from now, this all might happen. It might happen 7 minutes from now. It might happen 70 years from now. And I don't plan to be here 70 years from now. But I do know one thing. You are missing a blessing when you end up not reading Revelation. And you are missing a challenge when you're not reading it, going, you know what? God is unfolding enough. There's way more. But he's unfolding enough for you to realize, you know what? I better get my act together. I better start doing something for God. Because we are in the last times. The end times are our days. And I don't know when and how. You say, man, should I go out and sell your house? If you put a good deal on the market, let me know. I don't think you should go sell your house. If God told you, go sell your house. Should I go, you know, give everything away and let's go up to the hills? Go up in the hills and go get radioactive eventually. I mean, where are you going to go in the world? Well, the whole world's going to, you know, it's going to collapse. It will. What if things got so bad? Could be. There are Christians today that are living just like that, my friend. We are living high on a hog compared to most. So you be in a place, God, what do you want me to do through this? Man, I got to make a change. Then that's exactly what God's saying to you. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, this is why he gave it to you, so you would come to Christ. He didn't want you lost. He don't want you confused. He wants you to know the truth.
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Heron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening in, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.